Hello and welcome to the Beyond Earth Show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo. So grateful to be here with all of you lovely, beautiful souls today. And for today's transmission, it is the date February 8th, 2025, and the new year. And thank you all of you for your patience for my absence. And thank you for listening to the rebroadcasts and also supporting my show and subscribing. And taking the time to spend an occasional Saturday listening to me. And when we share with each other in the worldview, in the collectiveness, in the field, there's always something happening, right? There's always going to be within the matrix, in the realm, in our individual selves, and also externally. And so what is external often reflects on the internal, what's internal reflects on the external. So there has been many themes to cover, and besides, in addition to, of course, the new year, and then we also have, for those of you that celebrate Chinese New Year, and we also have a whole new world and a whole new vision that's ongoing. So if this is a good time actually to mention that, although we're going to be very soon into the upcoming new moon in Pisces, we are right in the midst of our moon in Aquarius, and that reflects with vision and progress and hope. But essentially, though, when you go through the catalysts over time and also in the experiences that we all have in our own way, and how we can have a commonality with one another or something completely beyond that is abstract, right? That is not congruent with what we're going through, but we can learn and draw from that. And at times, though, when we're in a new moon, it is an imperative time to literally go within, because new moons go within the tide. We are in a cycle, regardless of your belief systems. These are actual events occurring in our solar system, in our world, in our realm. The lunar cycles do affect us. And when you hear the term, oh, it's a full moon, expect people to be a little bit rambunctious out there, or strange things and events can occur. Well, there's a lot to that, because in another time I can delve into the history of, you know, the lunar cycles and so forth. But when we have all of these beautiful planets that we can examine, we can study, we can feel the energies. And if you're really into astrology, you know exactly what I'm referring to. And if you're not into astrology, but you're into astronomy, or maybe you're into both, or perhaps you're just getting your feet wet, or perhaps you're a professional and you know everything, the ins and outs. But there's so much that's relative to what goes on in the ecosystem here on planet Earth, and also in the realms beyond what we can totally see all the time and what we can't see. So what's tangible versus what's intangible. And so when we're in this essential moon at this time, the Aquarius aspect, there's so much with the Aquarian that is all of understanding, fostering compassion, and exploring the inner authenticity of the self. And also, when you are, let's say, invited to approach new relationships, and how do you approach those new relationships, whether they're on a friend or on a romantic or a colleague, business, or in studies, correct? So there are different ways, but there's this emphasis with compassion and empathy. And also what is congruent with compassion and empathy is also on this, like, a cerebral aspect, a spiritual aspect. And sometimes there's things that are transmutational that you can feel it in an electrochemical balance in the system. Sometimes we can feel imbalanced, right? Our equilibrium can be off, and that could be part of our chi, our energy systems. But what comes in, though? The planetary systems, the lunar cycles, and the sun. And we're also in the middle of our grand solar minimum, and we're in a pole shift. So we have an abundance of solar rays. Our magneto shield is weakened by maybe whatever they really tell us the truth about, 40% or more. And so when we have all these forces, it's truly like the perfect storm of so much to contend with, but also so much to learn within ourselves, to maximize and draw from, to improve ourselves. And when we're hit with certain things in the third dimensional realm here on planet Earth, then we can stop, take a moment, take a pause, take a reprieve and breathe, meditate, pray. Prayer is always so, vastly important. Meditation and those exercises in the body, mind, soul. And so we are gravely affected at times when things are energetically off. And then we're also in the benefic way, also in a positive benefit where we draw also from the positives. But what do we do when it's a bit scattered, when it's a bit fragmented? We go to our center. So regardless of if it's the quintessential full moon, right? Or if it's a certain Mercury in retrograde, or if some planets are in a square, or there's chaos ongoing. How do we go inward and how do we focus upon what we really need to attend to? And so some people, in aspect of looking at our structure within and transcending some, let's say, superficial changes like surface level aspects, and then transmute through that. So some people might say, well, I need to accomplish or finish a task, right? So we can speak of procrastination, let's say. So let's say that you have a heavy load of school or projects or paperwork that you're needing to address, and you have been unable to do so because of X, Y, and Z. And you look at yourself thinking you're lazy or thinking that, wow, performance anxiety, the pressure is real, correct? And all of these aspects can really create a hindrance and put more pressure because what you resist must persist, correct? So sometimes with procrastination, for example, it's actually not a form of laziness. That's a misnomer. Procrastination is the fear of exalting, the fear of moving forward, the fear of perfection and imperfection. If I don't do it perfect, then it's not worthy of being done or executed at all. Or what if I fail? Or what if I don't do it right? And I need to make sure everything's perfect before I launch and actually attempt to finish that. So let's just go into simple layman's terms of cleaning your room or your kitchen or your garage, right? Oh my goodness, right? It just looks like it's like the fear within everyone, something so simple, right? But then sometimes it's not so simple. There's a lot, everyone's different. Some people might have a lot of things they've inherited and or they just don't know what to do, or they just never got a chance to go through their garage, right? So that can also impose a fear of like, what do I do? How do I stay on track? And that's normal. But there's also with paperwork or schoolwork or catching up on classes or just finishing a book. Like, oh, I mean to finish that book, but I'll get to it when I can. Oh, I'll have to be in the right mood for that. And then just things come up. But sometimes there's little things you can do, like just tapping in, and because it's a new year, and most of you have the elemental of the New Year's resolution. So I'm just speaking a little bit about this before I get on to other topics, is that there's little things you can do, like such as set a timer, commit 5 minutes to just reading that book, commit 5 minutes to that garage, even if it means that you're opening a box just to open it, just to see what's in it. And then you start to have this exposure to that. So sometimes, and this is not necessarily exposure therapy to something, but it is a conditioning in a way, because at times we have such a fear that can exacerbate within that fear and then become even more so a mountainous effect where it literally looks like Mount Everest. And I mentioned that sometimes throughout different shows, but like the base camp, getting to the, it's a conditioning process getting to that. So if you set a little timer for 5 minutes, even if it's like working out or stretching or doing your physical therapy, your PT, or getting down to writing that novel that you always wanted to write, but you just never, it's been on your mind for 20 years, picking up that guitar that you've been meaning to do, and you bought this guitar 20 years ago, it's sitting there collecting dust, and you feel guilty about it. That's okay. Polish the guitar case, polish the guitar, get the strings for it, just feel it, hold it like a baby, embrace it, talk to it, and say, yes, my guitar, I will get to you, and I'm working on it for 5 minutes, right? And I know that sounds so simple compared to the elemental and the psychological aspect of how these things can be so Elicits so much fear within us, and that's with every one of us, whatever the goal may be, big and small. But if it's a goal to you, it's not a small goal. It's still relevant as a big goal. But some people might think that, oh, my dream is to build a rocket ship and save the world and save the animals, whatever. That's a gargantuan goal when you hear about it. But also to someone, getting to pick up my guitar, beginning to write the first pages, doing my morning pages, getting into the garage to open up that box. That can seem like the most gargantuan, biggest goal ever, right? So to each their own. So with respectivity to people's layers of what they find themselves capable, they might be highly proficient in so many other elements of their life and areas of their life, and they're like the masters of this and that. But there's the one thing or a few things, and they're really hard on themselves. So if that's part of your New Year's resolutions, just try to like be kind to yourself and apply that compassion, especially in the Aquarius moon right now, because it's about support. And if you have to be your own best friend right now, then so be it. Be your own best friend. Go for it. If you have to allow yourself to just give yourself that 5 minutes on a timer, and guess what? You might start to feel comfortable because you're breaking the surface, you're breaking through the ice, and that becomes inherent learned behavior over time. And as I've spoken of 21 days for conscious reconditioning, rewiring the neural pathways in the brain, essentially when you start that 21 days to make a habit, and then if you prolong that and go into 6 weeks, it completely rewires and it's like a hard reset sometimes. And that's if you notice with athletes or people who they're kind of like forced into like a pattern of studying, or that they have to get this goal done by a certain time. That can either amplify with that or they can shut down. So remember that this happens to all walks of life, of all in societal aspects of what they do and what is required of them. And sometimes action, just taking one small step, is literally the beginning of a journey of 1,000 miles. And through those 1,000 miles, we go through the journey. And then we have the journey of our soul, in which these are aspects of our soul inherently, in which we feel that, wow, when we leave planet Earth, what is one thing that we wish that we could have done? Was it, wow, I wish I was more organized. I wish I learned how to cook. I wish I actually picked up my guitar. I wish I finished that book, or I wish I took that class I wanted to take. And wow, so there's so many things. What would you regret if you left planet Earth? And I don't mean to be morbid, but this is the Beyond Earth show. So we talk about all kinds of things here on the show. But in the reflective aspect, though, what would you have regretted not doing? And so seize the day. And so carpe diem, seize the day. So when you look at your life, regardless of how busy you are or the distractions, try to see the distractions around you, because sometimes we might want to hold on to certain distractions because it feels safe to hold on to those distractions. Sometimes it feels comfortable to become, when I say complacent, I'm certainly not saying that any of you are, let's say, lackadaisical or lazy in that way, but there is a degree of motivation at times that is consistent with the proponent of the fear that can come when you're motivated, and what happens if you fail. And then you're motivated, and then you get to part A and part B. And then when you get to part C, whoa, I feel like I need to take a step back, and that's okay. But as long as you start. So the one main key is to just begin, just start, even if it's for 30 seconds, 5 minutes with anything. And I realize that some things might take longer than that to address, but you know what I'm referring to, given like a certain reasonable time frame for the person in which that is something that is bothering them. And so when you go into self-love, that's another aspect. That's also part of getting your goals accomplished and really drawing in, manifesting, praying, asking to receive, and the invitation to receive what you really would like to literally invoke into your life. And those of you, when you pray to God and you pray to the Holy Spirit, Jesus, Mother Mary, the Blessed Mother Mary, the archangels, the saints, you pray to Buddha, you pray to Muhammad, you pray to whatever is respective to your belief system. And if you don't pray, if you don't believe, then you work on it in your own way. But in the aspect, though, in the realm of what is inherently within us and to accomplish our goals, there is a subset and a categorical effect that this is literally the right time. Sometimes people say, oh, it's not the right time. But then look at the pattern, though. When is it the right time, essentially? So you ask the same person, and perhaps 5 weeks later, 5 months later, 5 years later, oh, it just wasn't the right time. And sometimes that can be the case where it's not the right time, because there is such thing as divine time. But then there's also this place where you have to just look and assess and say, okay, if it's not the right time right now, I'm going to do something else. And that's my key. That's what I'm expressing, is that if it's not the right time right now, then look at what else you could focus your attention and your talents, your skill sets, your energy, and, you know, imbue that and just let that become an embodiment with yourself, that something else. So if it's not the right time to garden because it's snowing and it's not a good season, okay, that's fair. It's not the right time. But then you might be able to finally get to that book because it's snowing and raining outside, right? And no one's driving on the road. I'm just giving examples, right? Or listen to that audiobook, or take that class that you've been meaning to take on photography, or on wildlife, or, you know, social studies, whatever it is, right? So that's the thing, to keep yourself moving, because if it's not precisely the right divine time for you, which is a real thing. So you look at where else can you spend your precious time, because our time here on planet Earth is so sacred, and we have 24 hours in a day, right? And we have 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But if we look at the quickening, and right now with everything going on planetarily, see, it does affect us with the planets, with our solar field, with our magneto shield, the sun, there's a quickening. And I've often referred to the twilight zone aspect of this world that we have been ongoing, especially in the last 5 years, 4 years, but there's reprieve and there's, you know, a chance for renewal, but recovering from so much of what we have suffered globally from the beginning of societal times, right? I'm just saying that there's always going to be a breakaway. There's always going to be tragedy. There's always going to be something that happens in this third dimension, but we survive. You and I and everyone here that's listening is here because our ancestors survived. We are all here for a reason. And so when we get to the point of when we do transition and leave this planet Earth and go on to the next realm, the heavenly realm. And so there's so much to do here, so much to learn, so much to teach. And so within our time frame, what are the bad habits? What are the habits that you look at that are time wasters? If you're in something that's not productive, or it's not calming or helping you, but it's actually draining you, look at that also. That's also part of what happens with setting some goals. And if you look at your timeline here on Earth and you look at the purpose of yourself and the purpose that you see and that you want to allow yourself to heal, go into the cocoon. That's totally fine, because that's also part of your sacred time, because we all need time to rebalance and heal. But then you look at, wow, like I have spent a lot of time thinking about this horrible, injurious words that were spoken, the transgressions, right? The transgressions from people that might really hurt you, but it's irrelevant at the end of the day, because that person will not matter to you in a year from now. But it took so much of your time and your precious energy when you could have spent that precious energy healing, and even in the cocoon of yourself, going inward, reflecting on your positives, that if that person had a transgression upon you and was jealous or mean or callous and cruel and unnecessarily speaking harsh words, let's say, right? And it, we've all been through the subject of abuse in different aspects in our lives, right? In verbal or mental, emotional, and unfortunately other abuses that can happen. And I'll leave it at that with just verbal right now. But when we go into that and the verbal and emotional that are consistent with one another, synonymous, then it's like, wow, like I can actually go inward and apply my self-love. Like, that's not true. I am lovable. I am likable. People do love me. Just because that person doesn't love me doesn't mean that I'm unlovable. Wow, who are they to give? I'm not going to disempower myself. So there's just a lot that I just wanted to share for the beginning of the year, just some self-help tools to apply for the self. And I did want to speak about also the celebration of life, that when we're in a new year, we can often think about those that we love that are no longer here, that are no longer sharing this earthly plane, that are no longer with us in the physical component, yet in the spirit realm, they are free and they are able and they're liberated and they're with us and they never leave. Like, true love never dies. There's this unspeakable and force, and at times it's so hard to fathom those that you view, that even the ones that can see, when it's yourself, it's always hard for yourself to see. But those of you that you're just, and it's Valentine's Day coming up, and there's a lot of people who no longer, it's a breakup, or it's the person is in heaven now, no longer here on the physical plane, or they're alone. There's a time here of symbolism of if the emotions that are surrounding the semblance of love, the celebration of love. And this is when we exalt with self-love and the celebration of the memories, the positive memories. And also, whenever there's dark, there's light. Whenever there's positive, there's negative. So there's always going to be a bit of a yin and yang component going on in the elemental aspect. However, we want to focus on the positives in this moment, celebrating what we could procure for ourselves and what we gave to that person if we've lost them in the life and death aspect of loss. If it's a breakup, we go through what we've learned karmically and what we've taught karmically and how to proceed and move forward. But in the aspect of the celebration of life, in which we may have lost a dear beloved, if we have a partner, a wife, a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a best friend, a sister, brother, mother, father, a child, a kitten, a puppy, a turtle, a bird. And so much has, especially this, we have, the wars that are trying to end and the fires and in North Carolina, so much tragedy that's happened and what happens everywhere, in the world at all times. But we look at when it happens to the frequency when we individually endure a loss, and it just has a different effect when you're actually in it as opposed to when you're observing it. Your observational field can empathize and have compassion and seek to help. But when you're actually going through the loss yourself, there's a time in which everyone has a different stage of grievance and stages of this shock and acceptance, and also into how do they move on. And so some, aren't ready to even think about moving on. But when I say move on, I'm speaking of in the emotional component of acceptance and embracing, and also with the assimilation of just that expressing, dialoguing it out, sharing, and just going through the memories, the emotions. And then you can get to a place of where you might never move on from the individual or the cat or the child or anything. The moving on aspect certainly does not mean to move on like moving on from one job to another. It's actually in the aspect of movement, in the atomic sense of our being, in our body. When we pray, we have a movement that occurs in our chi, our energy field, our chakra system. There's a movement. And when we get into this field of mourning and we're grieving, and our body and our mind and our soul and our senses are at a halt, and we don't know which way is up or down or left or right, and we can feel like we're spiraling at times. We can feel a whole array of emotions that are truly challenging and difficult, and they can come and go. Maybe there's some days that is okay. Wow, today's okay. And then you might feel guilty for feeling okay because, wow, why do I feel okay for 30 seconds? Oh, and then these are normal feelings, but there's movement, moving on, meaning moving upward within the self, the pillars of light, the atomic energy that shifts and moves when you pray, when you, whatever your religion is, but when you pray, and I'm Catholic, so when you pray to God, when you pray to the Creator, when you pray to the Holy Spirit, when you invoke that within you, and you feel the pillars of light around you, you're loosening up the grievance, you're loosening up that rigidity, that blockade that occurs within the self that is there to almost like a shield to protect oneself. So to keep you in survival mode. But then there's a time where you need to allow the energy field to allow itself to circulate. So in the circuitry of the body, and if you look at like in the wheels of life, right? If you look in the atomic structure on our electrochemical, the frequency of ourselves that we have our auric field, we're all energy. You and I and our beloveds that have left the physical plane in their physical vessel, but they're still able to be here on planet Earth with us and also in the outer dimensional realms of heaven, and they can kind of move through and be with us still, but they're in a different vessel because they're liberated from the physical shell, right? So that energy that you and I are comprised of is the same energy as they were comprised of, and they still. Now they're comprised with an even more magnanimous, more heightened state of energy because they're no longer bound by the physical flesh. Because while we're here on earth, we are bound by the flesh, which can be a beautiful thing, but the spirit is what is indestructible. And so, I thought too that I should read this poem for those of you that may need to hear this. There's this poet, Rashini Riya, and the poem is titled Unbroken. There is a brokenness out of which comes the unbroken, a shatteredness out of which blooms the unshatterable. There is a sorrow beyond all grief which leads to joy and a fragility out of whose depths emerges strength. There is a hollow space too vast for words through which we pass with each loss, out of whose darkness we are sanctioned into being. There is a cry deeper than all sound, whose serrated edges cut the heart as we break open to the place inside, which is unbreakable and whole while learning to sing. And so I thought I would share that if that may be something that would help some people out there that are going through a loss, a grievance. And while there's so much to celebrate, while we're here on planet Earth, there's almost so much to celebrate in the trajectory of the timelines in which we shared that, wow, how beautiful is it to share this incarnation in this moment with that person that I may have had past lives with, right? How beautiful that I got to have a reunion with that person. And it's not the end. It's to be continued. It's never truly the end for any of us. And when one goes into the place within the heart and the soul, and you look upon what you'd like your future aspect to look like, and you visualize and you manifest, and sometimes it can be challenging with all the distractions in the world, and sometimes there's like limitations, right, that come up, things that are out of our control. Just sometimes things happen to happen. A wrench gets thrown in the third dimension and we didn't bring it in. It just happened. And sometimes, yes, we can have a consequence for action or non-action. But here's the big aspect I'd like to just discuss. Guilt and blame and shaming, especially during this Aquarian time, really self-guilt. Self-blame and self-shame, those are like poison to the soul. If you are an innocent victim or you are someone who is a lover and a giver and a nurturer, you have a proclivity to go towards this over-nurturing, over-giving, oversharing, over-loving, But when something negative happens, you could, there's a definite a propensity actually to just take it and absorb it and really self-blame and think that you yourself are the problem when you're not. And so I just wanted to make a mention of that as well while we're on this topic, because sometimes when there's a limitation or transgression in this world, and you're really working on praying for what you want and praying to receive what you want to bring into your field, into your world, in, or you're working on the manifestation of a huge, beautiful thing, but you're scared to start. Look at the places in which you might feel, am I worthy? Do I feel like I'm worthy? And then, yes, you are worthy. If you want something, put it to pen and paper. There's a magic to putting something to pen and paper that is called like a spell. So if you go into the ancient prophets and the scribes, there's a power, like in the Bible, like when you put something to pen, or in that case, papyrus or whatnot, right? But in modern day, if you take an action, and you utilize your hand and you write it down, you are actually making it more concrete. You're sending out a signal to the universe that this is something I want. And if you're orally speaking of it, you're speaking it into existence. You're speaking it, verbalizing it, and saying, I'm declaring this is my decree. This is my affirmation. This is my prayer request. You go into this place of, I'm grateful, dear God, or I'm grateful, universe, I'm grateful, God, whatever you want, Buddha. I'm grateful to all the above. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for this journey. I'm grateful for the lessons I've learned. I'm grateful for the opportunities to learn. I'm grateful for whatever else is going to come my way. But I would really like to receive, let's say, a lotus blossom, right? Just use something like a fictitious example, right? And you're just going to think about that and call that in. And there is such a thing as a reticulating activation center in the brain that has a filtration. So if I start to speak of a lotus, I might start noticing more lotuses around. But this is different than that. This is actually when the synchronistic aspect of God's winking is in real time, in divine time, in your time, in which when you think of a loved one, you think of yourself, you think of someone who's here or in heaven, and then suddenly you see a sign. That's really a sign. That's not just your mind filtering and fooling yourself. There is actually a true notion that there is a symbiosis that's ongoing, and there is a life, and the breadth of life continues. And even in the ways that are not always so tangible to ourselves, but it remains tangible in other ways in which we may not deem as tangible, because while we're here, honestly, we're only using like literally one tenth of our brain power. And if we look at the ancient Lemurian times and Arcturian times and starseed systems, and let's say even from Sirius star systems and Lyran, and whether people say that Atlantis didn't exist and Plato created it. I mean, but there's so much evidence that can prove otherwise. And honestly, when something can be drawn forth and illuminated, who's to say that it's not real? Because if there's something epigenetically in our DNA that has this resounding familiarity that comes within, then there's something familiar. If something feels familiar to you, no one can tell you that it's not real. So sometimes when you look back onto perhaps ancient civilizations, right, like the Mayans and the ancient Egyptians and the inventions, and we'll see ourselves in this modern day and the percentages of our brain, and yes, they have fluoride in the water to depress our pineal gland, and there's ways that they tell us that things don't exist when they do, and we've been really undergoing like a lot of psychological manipulation from the powers that be for so many years. I mean, we could go into hundreds of years there, but in essence, though, when we actually really learn who we really are and we go inward, who are you? Who am I? Who are we? Then that is the beauty of it. We go to the epigenetic framework, the root of ourselves, our ancestral line, our lineage from starseed, off planetary systems, under God's creation, and where we used the maximum potential of our brain power and our spirit power and our psychic gifts, right? Where we could use, and there's no sickness, like all healing, all abundance and healing and love and the radiance of that. And so, anyone who has an interest in certain topics, that is, there's a resonance there that some part of you may be part of that lineage. And so, who's to say? I don't know all the answers, but there's a hypothetical approach to things, and we can hypothesize that in reflection of the inherent knowledge that we have, whether it's learned or nature versus nurture, what we're born with, and then what gets to be practiced, what gets to exercise, what is given the opportunity, right? So if we're taught something that naturally is intrinsic within us upon our birth, and if we're conditioned at 5 and 6 years old that no, reincarnation isn't real, you're seeing the boogeyman, it's really not a ghost, it's not your Aunt Mary, or it's not your past life, then you start to learn after that, the formative years, you start to say, okay, that's not real. I guess I'm really not seeing my past life or my Aunt Mary, who's my guardian angel, right? And then it starts to create a limitation. So this is what I speak of with limitations, that coming from a place where you may have been bound by a limitation that was particularly presented to you, or you were halted from your vibrancy of exploration. And that happens to a lot of people, especially in the Western world. We have been tyrannized and we have been subject to so much oppression. I mean, we could go on and on about all that, but in the spiritual aspect of it, what we've been prohibited from learning, what's been omitted from the truth from us, right? And we're seeing that all the time, every day now. But in reality, though, going into your personal truth, who are you? Who are you really? Who are you meant to be? Who do you want to be? And are you believing in yourself enough that you can become who you want to be and who your divine rightful inheritance, the kingdom of heaven, is within you and upon you? That every single person has a right to become whatever and whoever they are meant to be. And of course, in contributing members of society, right, that is benefic to the life force. But when we are in the relative state of this compliance, so to speak, to what is expected of us, right? Well, truly, what is expected of us from our highest self, of our greatest self, of our soul's essential knowing, correct? So when if we go into that divine rightful inheritance of what is it that we seek, what is it that we want to engage with, what is it we want to explore, what is it we want to really avoid and to prohibit and prevent in this life from happening that happened injurious in another life, whatever, whatever the cause may be. So we seize this time, we celebrate ourselves, we celebrate those that we love, we celebrate planet Earth, the creatures, the creature kingdoms that inhabit and share, that we cohabit with. And we go into a place of respect and self-respect, and that self-respect grows. And it's contagious, because when you operate from a field of self-love, you radiate and magnetize into the world that you essentially are sharing and transmitting pure love. And yes, we have a caller calling in, I believe. And yes, I will take that call.
Hi, Ray. Can you hear me?
Hello. Hello. Yes, I can hear you.
This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, I just want to say the radiating pure love, that is my experience of you.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. And you came at the moment when I so needed your assistance and presence. Someone put us together. And I want to say that what you've said so far on this show, the beginning part also about the, you know, actually getting to things that have sort of turned into a mountain.
Yes.
By contacting it.
Yes.
That is, it's applicable to so many things. I love that. And I was going to call in as you went deeper and had to cry when you read that poem.
Yeah.
That poem. So I'm one of the ones that lost a very special beloved very recently. And I have two things I want to ask you about. And one is with him, I never really believed in twin flames, because I don't think our soul, you know, branches off. But once I met him in the physical and realized that he was the one that I had seen and known and felt inwardly for decades before then.
Right.
I had no question anymore about that. And I also, he was healing me. And he said that I'm just getting you to where you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was very true. And I also very clearly got the message. I don't know if it's because I asked. I don't think so. But two or three times at least. And we talked about it. And it said that we had a 2-year window. And then it happened that way.
Wow.
So there's another thing that has to do with what I want to ask you about, which is about 3 years before I finally met him, I had a most amazing experience, the most love I had felt until that point in his life. And I saw him, the experience went from my dream.
Yes.
Where I was traveling in the dream state and was with him. And then later in the day, I saw the scene of that dream in the physical.
Okay.
And I didn't know I would meet him, but in that scene, when I met him inwardly beforehand, like 3 years or so before,
right
there, it was one man, there were horses there. There were horses that I later found out had been together for 40 years, this couple, this horse couple. But it was one man introducing me to him. And what I was wondering, because he asked me himself, are you sure there's not somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm wondering, how do I determine if it is somebody that I know now? How do I determine that?
Like someone new that you might know, but that could be new as far as in the trajectory of a future relationship with.
Yes.
Okay. I'm focusing on that. One moment. Honestly, it feels like as if this is a very divinely led and almost like a divinely ordained relationship in which you had those prophetic dreams and also those prophetic visions prior to, which is synonymous with that sense of deja vu where you feel familiar. So when you have that familiarity, that right there is also contributing to what makes it more concrete what I'm going to say next. So this particular person, this beloved person who had said that to you, especially with the horses, there's a lot of symbolism there. It feels as if they may have had a sense that they would leave the planet and that they don't want you to be alone in the physical sense of companionship, right? And the
They said
emotional
that, yeah.
end, right? And that they would hope that they may have sensed that they knew that they were going to leave at some point, and that in this particular life that you would have someone else come in. I believe that that's what that person meant for you, that they had a certain sense of foresight, a certain type of insight in that spiritual future vision way and an inner knowing. And I feel that they wanted to take that opportunity to share that with you. And they just said it in that moment to express it while they could, to plant that seed, because sometimes the seeds can get planted when it's like a vision and it's a knowing. And even if nothing seems to be in the counter circumstance, like any derailment in that moment, there's sometimes the spirit speaks through, like God speaks through the person to express something. The Holy Spirit comes through, the messenger comes through to speak a bit of truth through. And so when you heard that, I believe you're meant to hold on to that because I feel that this individual would not want you to be limited to being like a consigned to being isolated and alone for the remainder of your life here on planet Earth, even if you could reunite later in another lifetime with this person. That's how twin souls, twin flames, and even if you want to take away the terminology of twin flames, right? And you just look at soul to soul equal balance and soul to soul union, right? And reunion. That's essentially what twin flames could be, because typically with twin flames, there's sometimes, actually, it's most common that there's always going to be some sort of a garrison around, like a protective field that protects the two individuals at times, even from themselves. Sometimes there are things that they both need to learn or both endure, both go through, and then there's always sometimes some initial difficulty with the engagement. Does that make sense? So sometimes that can happen, not often. So I want to classify this from what I feel. I want to classify this as essentially soul to soul union, reunion, as opposed to twin flames, because in this context, that's how I feel that. But you can discern for yourself. However, I feel this is like even more of a deeper, because I don't see all the chaos and all of the conflict that can typically resound with a twin flame aspect. And I could be wrong, but there could be others out there that disagree with me. But I feel this is on a soul to soul reunion. This has been an ongoing lifetime after lifetime, and it's not over, it's not the end. And I think that that person loves you so much to where it would break their heart in heaven to see you alone for the rest of your life on planet Earth. That's part of true love, is selflessness, to say that I would want my partner, my beloved, to be able to have whatever else she wants, even if it's not me, because I'm no longer in the flesh, but almost as if a companion that she can also reciprocate with and reciprocate to her, because you can also be the light and the love for someone else that's out there that's needing you, right? Because sometimes when you're in grieving and mourning, you can be, there's an emphasis on wow, I'm so sad. I miss my beloved and I'm so heartbroken and I'm in despair. But then when you actually see beyond, once you get to the right stage, and I'm proud of you for coming to this today and calling the show and sharing this because it's very courageous to share feelings. But here's the thing in the way that do you recognize that you are capable and that you have so much to give and so much to offer that you are also the gift. So your beloved was a gift to you. You're a gift to your beloved who's now departed in heaven, ascended into heaven. But in the future timeline of yourself, that you still have so much to give and so much to receive. So does that help?
Yes, it helps. Like everything you have given, it helps so much. They gave me everything he could while he could. And he's still doing it.
Right.
Still doing it. And it actually gives me the ability to do what you said.
Right.
You know, to be there in the way that he really showed me. He was an example to me of fully being yourself.
Yes.
You know, like you were talking about earlier.
And that's something gift to draw from. And, you know, that's those are sacred gifts to really hold dear and to focus on that and cultivate that, harness that, and foisten and fasten that. And that's beautiful. I thank you for calling in, and we're almost at the end of the show. So I just wanted to say you can call in any time, and I thank you for calling in today, and I send you my love and blessings for you.
For being there.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. And thank you everyone for your participation in the show, and for, you know, anyone who would like to call in the future shows, of course, you're always welcome to call in and speak and express or ask questions. And I'm always happy to do that. And so we thank Sarah for calling in and sharing. And I hope that that helps some other people out there as well that are going through something similar. And so before we close off the end of today's transmission, I wanted to say that practice your self-love, love yourself, practice that, yes, you can, that you can do it, no matter what the feat may be. If you're learning how to walk again, if you're learning how to live again, if you're learning how to speak again in any way, shape, or form, that believing in yourself is the first step to everything else that is momentous and monumental for your soul's journey, and that you matter, that your soul, your spirit, and that we all have the divine spark of God's light within us, and that when you remember or reminded that you are from that spark of light, that you are part of that spark of light, then everything feels a bit more cohesive and makes more sense in the world, even if there's a twilight zone at times in the world or the feelings that we go through. You're not alone. And so thank you, all of you, for sharing today. And I wanted to wish my best friend a happy birthday today, Crystal. Thank you. Happy birthday. And I love you. And just sending blessings to all of you. And thank you for listening to the Beyond Earth Show. This is your host, Ray Trujillo. And I will see you again in the next 2 weeks' time. Happy, blessed, magical weekend. Thank you. Bye.